Thank you, Brian, and thank you, ladies, for that wonderful special. Before I get into the heart of the sermon, I want to make a special announcement, and that is that, and this is coming, I mentioned this last week as well, this is coming from my brother R.L. Coates as our Sunday school superintendent. We need help with our Sunday school, especially with the younger grades. We're getting large enough where we really need to split up the younger class, and man, the only way to do that is by multiplying our number of teachers. And so if you feel like there is any chance at all that God might be leading you in that direction, get with RL, get with myself. I want to take this morning, and actually for a couple of weeks, to talk about an issue that's been heavy on my heart for some time now, and that is the topic of suicide. We've seen kind of a rash of these, it seems, over the last, I've only been here a little over a year. And probably I've heard of five or six different people that have taken their own lives. I remember the first person I ever knew that committed suicide. It's not something that I grew up with. I want to tell you the story about one of my friends. When I was about 10, I met a little girl. Her family began attending the church where my father pastored. Like my family, she was one of five siblings. She was a sweet girl, and I was sweet on her from that moment until we went to college. That wasn't meant to be. And I praise the Lord for that, because I'm thankful for Natalie. But we remained friends, and I'm thankful for that, too. She married a good guy, and we were all friends. They had a little boy. Natalie and I would spend all hours of the night at their house. They'd come to our house. After they had their son, we'd babysit for them. Life was good, with good friends. It was fun, as it should be. Over time, our families drifted apart, but we still loved one another, and we kept up with one another. And that's why it was such a shock when, in 2009, I heard that she had died. And not just that she had died, but that it happened at her own hand. Shocking. Her boy was 4 years old. Wife, mother, shot herself in the head. And she was the first person that I personally knew. You know, you hear about people, but she's the first friend, the first person that I loved, the first person where it affected me, and it affected me in a profound way. I think for the next 2 weeks, I just sort of would wake up numb and go to bed numb. You ever felt like that? Since then, I've become more aware of this problem, and it is definitely on the rise. These are pretty current statistics, but in the United States, these are America only. This is not worldwide. There's about 45,000 successful, if you want to call it that, suicide attempts per year. And for every one, there are about 25 attempts. Suicide is more common than murder. According to the latest statistics, murder is the 13th leading cause of death, and suicide is number 11. Among young people, age 15 to 24, it's the third leading cause. It's the second among 25 to 34-year-olds. It's first among college students, and it's most common. Another way of phrasing that last bullet point is who is taking their lives at the highest rate of incidence. It is those 45 to 54 and those 75 to 84. Why is this happening? After my friend died, we all asked, why? Why did she do that? If I'm being honest, I didn't know why then, and I still don't know why. I probably never will. Some people said, oh, it's financial problems, stress. Others said it's a bad mix of medications she'd been taking to control migraines. The honest answer is, I don't know why. Neither does anybody else. And I probably wouldn't feel any better if I did, right? I do know this, though. I believe that she lost hope. I believe that she lost hope. You know, I can't find it in Center for Disease Control records, but I have to believe that the number one reason people take their own life is the loss of hope. Certainly, it's not the only reason. Some older people do so because they don't want to live their final days in pain or as a burden to other people. You noticed 75 to 84 is one of the highest rates. Well, a lot of times it's because they're in a lot of pain or they don't want to go into a nursing home and be a burden to people. Now, I don't think that's right, but that's why. A few times, suicide is used to make a political statement. I think of that Hindu man that burned himself alive many years ago. You might remember that from the news, or you could Google it. Others, like the Japanese, practice seppuku, a form of honor suicide. And there's at least one example like that in the Bible. A man named Ahithophel, the king's counselor to Absalom, killed himself after being publicly shamed. In fact, I want to take you through just a quick list of the different people that killed themselves in the Bible. You might say, I didn't know suicide was even mentioned in the Bible. And it is, at least this many times. King Saul took his own life. He was surrounded by the enemy. He had been mortally wounded by an arrow. And he did not want to be captured alive. Can you imagine why? There were no Geneva Conventions back then, guys. It was a brutal time. He asked his bodyguard to kill him. His bodyguard refused because he would not lift up his hand against the Lord's anointed. So he took his own life. He fell. He literally fell on his sword. That's a phrase that we use politically now. But he literally did it. Then Saul's bodyguard, seeing there was no hope, did the same. I've already mentioned Ahithophel. King Zimri was a wicked king. He was only king for 7 days. That didn't last long, did it? And he was surrounded by the enemy, and he burned a house down around himself, killing himself. The most famous example, no doubt, is Judas Iscariot. And we know why he did it. This is a big issue. As I was thinking about this issue this week, I thought, man, what should I say today? And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, there are layers here that need to be uncovered. It wouldn't do justice for 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. So I want to take you through what I hope the next 4 weeks will look like. Today, we're going to talk about the sin of suicide. And that might sound harsh. I want you to understand that my heart is coming from a place of compassion. And because I am a compassionate person who loves God and loves you, I'm going to tell you that suicide is a sin. Well, that's heartless, preacher. No, it's always compassionate and merciful to reveal disease where it exists. If you go to the doctor and you had cancer, and he said, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I'll just tell them that they have a cold. Would you consider that compassion? Suicide is a sin, so we're going to talk about that today. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about the deep root of suicide. We're going to talk about why. People who were created to live forever. Are you going to live forever? You will. One place or the next, but you were made to desire life. You were made to want to live forever. So why do people do this? And we're going to look at that next week. Week 3, we can start putting more of a happy face on it a little bit and talk about hope for the hopeless. And I hope to inject a little bit of hope every week because you don't ever want to end on a complete downer. And then in week four, I want us to craft a strategy for dealing with this issue. I just want to say a word about that. If what we're talking about ultimately is spiritual warfare, can you agree with me that that's true? It is spiritual warfare. People might say, oh, I killed my, you know, they would never use the past tense, but people might say, I'm going to kill myself because I don't have a job. I'm going to kill myself because my girlfriend broke up with me. I'm going to kill myself because I'm sick. I'm going to kill myself for this, this, this. And those are all temporal, tangible reasons that we can touch and feel, but the ultimate root is spiritual. And if it's spiritual, then we as the church need to have a strategy for helping the lost understand how to deal with this problem. So, the first thing I want to talk about, and I want to billboard today's message. I want to talk, suicide is a sin. And here are the three reasons we're going to go over fairly briefly. There are the three reasons. But first, I want to ask a question. Is suicide a sin? Now, you already know my answer to it. I want to show you, this is from the suicide.org webpage. People who are considering suicide may search for it, may search, you know, for reasons not to kill themselves. And can you see what it says there? What's the spiritual message here? The spiritual message here is God doesn't have an opinion. God always has an opinion. This group has a lot of good resources. This page is not one of them. This page, and you can see why they put this page up here, right? This page is seeking to alleviate guilt. But we can't alleviate guilt if guilt is real. Only God can forgive the guilty, right? And we're going to talk about that as well. The first point was that suicide is self-murder. Here's where we get that from the Bible. Don't just take my word for it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. This is the fifth commandment. The Ten Commandments are found in Exodus chapter 20. The first four deal with our relationship to God. The last six deal with our relationship to one another. Number five says, don't commit murder. You shall not kill another human being in malice. What we call today homicide, not manslaughter. And so this is the first reason that suicide is a sin. It is self-murder. Why? Think about this for a second. Why is it wrong to kill a human being but not an animal? We've been going through this on Sunday mornings a little bit. We have dominion over the animals. There's a really important thing that Jennifer talked about as well. Are animals made in God's image? No. Are animals created with an eternal soul? Not as far as we know. The Bible certainly doesn't say that they are, but it explicitly says that you are from the moment you were conceived. That's before science can even detect that you exist. You have an immortal soul. Amen. Guys, this is why abortion is a sin. Because abortion is the murder of an innocent life. This is also, and a defenseless life. That's right. This is also why when you lose the baby through no fault of your own, that is not a sin. You're not taking the life willingly. But people say, well, suicide isn't murder. Let me ask you this. Who gave you your life? God gave you. What a precious gift. There are many things that we can give to one another as gifts. Christmas time, we wrap them up and we put bows on them. We put shiny paper on them. Maybe for your birthday, some of you are graduated recently and you probably got cards full of money. I hope you did. Maybe gift cards to different places. We love to receive gifts. We love to give gifts. There are some gifts that we cannot give, but we can take away. Life is one of them. What right do we have to take away life, even if it's our own? If you did not give it to yourself, how can you take it away? Murder is a grave sin because it is the taking the life of one with an eternal soul. Here's a second reason. It is theft. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want us to become more Bible-centric. I know I'm throwing these up on the screen. I want that to be for people that can't read their Bibles very well because the print is too small, or maybe they didn't bring their Bible, or maybe you forgot to bring your Bible. I want this to be a tool, but I want us to use our swords. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and follow along as I read. Paul is making a point. He's not talking about murder here. He's talking about the sin of immorality. He's talking specifically about the sin of prostitution. But I think we can make a parallel point here. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? I know growing up, this was the go-to passage for smoking and drinking and dipping is wrong, right? That was the go-to passage right there. But I think Paul's concern is a little bit bigger than that. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? What is a temple? A temple is where the deity lives. And so Paul is recognizing that the Holy Spirit, the deity, God, lives within you, your body. Think about this. In the Old Testament, God at first said, build me a sanctuary. When the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, build me a sanctuary and I will travel around with you. I will be mobile, but I'll travel in this cloth building. And then a little bit later, they built a temple. And God said, I'm not going to move around anymore. I'm going to be in one place, and you're going to have to come to Jerusalem to worship me at this temple. And my presence will fill this temple in the innermost holy place. And the Shekinah cloud of glory will just overwhelm where the Ark of the Covenant is. And then Jesus comes. Jesus dies on a cross, tears the veil that separated them from that inner holy of holies. And Jesus now said, you don't need a temple anymore. You're the temple. And you're going to take God wherever you go. Paul is recognizing this. Now, what does he say? Because you are a temple, because God lives with... Now, does this apply to unsaved people? Let's be honest, it does not. It's also a sin for unsaved people to commit suicide, but Christians, I'm assuming I'm talking mostly to Christians here, you are special in that God literally is in you. Amen. I'm not quite sure how that works, but it's true. And he makes this point. He says, because that's true, you don't belong to yourself. You were bought with a price. Now, what was that price? The price was the blood of the Son of God. You don't belong to yourself. Guys, this is why we can make all kinds of different ramifications. We could talk about tattooing, whether or not it's wise. I'm not saying it's sinful, but is it wise? We could talk about going up for the third time at Golden Corral. Or fourth, right. I remember I used to could just kill buffets. And now it's just not worth it. Unless you're paying, then I'll go. I can't do it like I used to. We could talk about all kinds of things, but we're talking specifically about suicide. Now, let's talk for a second. Can a Christian commit suicide? Ooh, a lot of silence. I'm going to give you what I think is the Bible answer. Yes. Let me rephrase the question. Can a Christian commit any sin that a non-Christian can? We would all shake our heads like this if I asked that. So why do we stutter when asked about suicide? I think there's two reasons. getting off topic a little bit, but I want to address this. Number one is that, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time understanding how someone who was filled with the Prince of Peace could have no peace at all. The second reason is the long teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, which taught, you know what they taught? They taught it was a mortal sin. Mortal sins are sins that send you straight to hell. Don't pass go. Don't collect any spiritual tokens on the way. Can you understand why somebody might say, oh, that makes sense to me? Can you ask for forgiveness? You can't. Once you're dead, you can't ask for forgiveness. But our theology teaches us that when Christ comes and wipes our sin away, he wipes away how much of it? All of it. Past, present, and future. All of it. I could just as easily turn this around and say, what if I sinned against my brother? I have three brothers. What if I sinned against my brother, cussed him out, right? And then I die in a car accident. Did I ask forgiveness of that sin? Is God still going to save me? Yes. Guys, we are bought with a price. Our body doesn't belong to us, and when we do something to it and kill it, that is taking something that doesn't belong to us. We even refer to it as taking life, don't we? He took his own life. What do you call it when you take something that doesn't belong to you? You call it stealing. You call it theft. You hear this phrase, my body, my... Come on, y'all watch more news than that, don't you? My body, my choice. Now, that's referenced specifically to abortion. But think about this. Is it your choice just because it's your body? Not according to the Word of God. You are to glorify God in your body. And you can't glorify God in your body if your body is dead. Ultimately, this is the reason that God condemns murder. Because you're taking something that doesn't belong to you and you're killing it. It belongs to somebody else, first of all. And even that which they have ultimately belongs to God. You're taking something and you're destroying it. By the way, who does the Bible describe as a thief and a murderer? Satan, John chapter 10 and verse 10 says that Satan comes to steal. Can you help me finish it? To kill and to destroy. I'm telling you, we are talking about a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle. When someone takes their, you know, when we are dealing with what we're dealing with here, in West Texas with all these, in Big Spring and Cahoma and with all these suicides, we can't just say, well, economy's bad. Spiritual, guys. Spiritual warfare. There's another reason that we're going to talk about. Number three, it is blasphemy. I talked about this a little bit, but Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Guys, you have been given a wonderful gift. Each person is indelibly stamped with God's very image. This is why killing an animal is not necessarily a sin, but murdering a person is. This is why it's sad even when an evil person dies. Now, some of you probably don't agree with that. I'm here to tell you that the Bible says God loves every person, even the most wicked of individuals. Isn't that true? And so, is it a sad thing when even the most evil person dies? We might say, that's justice, that had to be done, but it still should fill us with grief. Because they are made in God's image. And it's a sad thing when that image is destroyed, no matter how vile the person is. There's been lots of talk this week about whether or not a certain gang are animals. And forget about whether or not, obviously, we know he wasn't saying they're literally animals, right? We know that. And those men deserve death if they've committed crimes of murder and rape and torture. They do. But it's sad. And it brings grief to my heart, and it should bring grief to yours to see men fall into that kind of lifestyle. Because they weren't made for that. They were made to bear God's image. And Satan loves to steal that image and to distort it. I'm going to go geeky a little bit on you, okay? I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan. I read those books. I watched the movies. I love them. In the Lord of the Rings, there are the good guys and there are the bad guys. Some of the bad guys are called orcs. Y'all remember them? Something you don't learn from the Lord of the Rings movies, you don't even learn it from the books. You have to read the prequel called The Silmarillion. Is that the orcs were originally elves. The elves are the good guys, right? The orcs were originally elves. They were made and created to give glory to the Creator. But the evil one, I forget his name right now, Morgoth. I knew there was another nerd in here. Morgoth. This is pre-Sauron. This is pre-Sauron, okay? Sorry. For those of you that don't like Lord of the Rings, I'm losing you. Sorry. The bad guy named Morgoth took elves and he tortured them and he's put them through demented processes until they became the exact opposite of what they were created to be. That's what Satan loves to do with God's image. But he doesn't use torture. He uses temptation. He uses sin. And when we, even when a person who feels like they are of less value than dirt says, I'm just a blight on this earth, they don't realize, we're going to get more into this next week, they don't realize how valuable they are. And they don't realize that they think they're doing everybody a favor when what they're really doing is rebelling against God and blaspheming against the one who stamped his image on their very person. It's a sad thing. Now, I do want to make one very, 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 very important note, and that is being tempted to commit suicide is not a sin. How do I know that? Because temptation does not come from within you. Temptation comes from Satan. Now, he uses our own weaknesses against us. But wasn't Christ tempted? And yet, the Bible says that he was without sin. I'm talking to a big enough crowd. I know for a fact some of you have dealt with this. I know it for a fact. Maybe some of you are dealing with it now. I want to encourage you. Being tempted is not the sin. Falling to that temptation is. Now, I want to give you a glimmer of hope. We're going to do more hope preaching in the next couple of weeks. I did want to establish, though, that God has an opinion on suicide, and it's negative. Can a Christian do it? Sure. Should a Christian? No. Should an unbeliever? No. Sin is sin. Here's a glimmer of hope. God grants life. Don't destroy it. He grants life. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that he formed the man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Anytime something comes alive, it is from God. And it is precious because of that. God grants life. If you are here today and you are struggling with this, don't destroy the gift that God has given you. Number two, God gives hope. Don't lose it. Satan is the one trying to steal your hope. God gives it, and he gives it in great abundance. But do you know where we find the hope? what happens is a lot of people say, I know God wants me to live. I know God wants to give me hope. I don't know. I don't have any hope. Where do I find it? And they don't go to the source of the hope, which is this. God gives hope. Don't lose it. And lastly, God forgives sin. Don't doubt it. You know, one of the reasons that people take their own lives prematurely is because they're ashamed of something that they don't want people to know. And we've seen this happen in this community, haven't we? You know what my message to them would be if we could get them back? Even if nobody in the world forgives you, God will. Even if you are ostracized by the community, even if the church turns its back on you, which they should not, God will forgive you. Doesn't mean you don't pay for your sins. Right? God forgives sin. He does not necessarily forgive the consequences. He forgives one very important consequence. We don't go to hell, and that's a very big deal. It's a very big deal. If you're struggling with suicidal ideations, guys, listen. Maybe if you're ashamed of something that's happened in your past and you don't want it to come out, God forgives sin. Go to Him. I just want to list some resources for you if you or someone that you love is struggling with this. Pastors, that's me. That's other pastors, pastors you know from the community. Guys, the devil thrives in isolation. I know very few people that have taken their own lives where they were letting a lot of people know about it. Usually they keep it secret. Usually they play it close to the vest. Why? A lot of different reasons. But I do know this. The devil loves to get us isolated. He loves to pick us off one at a time. Y'all know how a cheetah chases deer? They don't stand on top of a hill and jump on the pack. Boom, I'm here! They know they'll get trampled if they do that. They scare them. They start to run, and then they find the weakest one, the one who's by himself, by herself. They get it alone. Everybody else, it's every man, every deer for himself, right? We don't have to do that, guys. You're not alone. People love you. God loves you. Well, next week, we're going to talk about the deep root of suicide and the fears that Satan draws on to tempt people to do this. I hope you will come back next week and in the weeks following so we can develop a strategy together for this. Father, as we finish this worship hour, I pray that we would turn to you for guidance, that we would turn to you for hope, that no person would feel like they are alone because they're not. I pray, Lord, that if there is anyone here that is unsaved, in fact, I just want to say to you guys, if you're struggling with this, maybe it would be too embarrassing to walk down front. I understand that. Meet with me sometime, whether it be out back. Give me a call. Don't face this alone. Don't face it alone. Whether you're saved or unsaved, don't face it alone. If you are unsaved and you know it, you need to get right with God today. You need to be saved. There are lots of different ways we can die. Suicide's only one. And we all will die. You need to get right with your Creator before you go to meet Him. He loves you. He's more than just your Creator. He's your Savior. If you're a Christian, don't be ashamed to admit that this is a problem. Maybe you just want to come up and pray for somebody that you know is dealing with this. Now is the time. Father, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.